We'll bring in Senator Jacobson. And did you enjoy any local celebrations over the weekend?
Actually, we did. We actually went, ended up out at the lake over on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
We were invited to go out there, and I know I don't know how many people are familiar. The lake community has a really a very unique 4th of July parade. There's Mr. Weaver has a, mm-hmm. I think most people know him from his fireworks display.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many thousands of dollars spent on what is truly a, let's just say that there are many communities that only wish they could have a fireworks display half as good as what he put on. I mean, it was tremendous. And it we had a great seat to watch from across the lake. And I was very, very impressed. And we hadn't stayed up late and done a fireworks display in several years. Usually we take in, we took in the Sutherland Parade, which is a great parade, by the way. I really, this was the second following the Nebraska Land Days Parade. This is the second parade we've taken in. We'll be going to multiple parades this summer. But I will tell you, usually we're pretty tired from that. But we went out and we were up till about 11 o'clock out there as that was concluding. But beautiful fireworks display.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And just kind of thinking about, 250 years, and we've only been alive for about a quarter of those, roughly.
Right.
But I did a lot of reflecting last week, and I was listening to some podcasts that kind of centered in on, this country of ours. And we don't think about the origins too much, but I was trying to do that last week and take a portion of time to just think about how this country, it was really faith really spawned it, and biblical faith. It wasn't just this generic faith that we talk about a lot of times today. It was really centered on the Holy Bible, basically, and the principles that the country was founded on. And whether people like that or disavow that or whatever, it is the truth. I mean, you can try to wipe that out, but it's a part of our history. And thinking about, what's wrong with our country today? Well, I mean, you can point to several things, but I think in large measures, I thought about it, I think we've gotten away from a lot of those founding principles, and I think, I would like to see us get back to those, and that doesn't mean we have to have, scripture quotes all everywhere we go. I'm not espousing for that, but I think we need more recognition of what this country, where it sprang from.
Right, and why it was started. People wanted people wanted freedom. But first and foremost, they wanted religious freedom, and they did not want the government telling them, here's what it's going
to
be.
Yeah.
And you look at the strength of our country, it's been freedom, it's been religion, and this, and clearly our country was founded on Christian, Judeo values, and also the nuclear family. And those are the two things that have been attacked the most. And in my mind, when you look at how the deterioration has occurred in this country, when you start, when the family begins to deteriorate, and when faith starts to deteriorate, everything else follows very, very quickly. And I would tell you, I get very frustrated and disappointed to hear the polls that suggests that only 54%, I believe, of Americans would answer the question, are you proud to be an American? Only 54% answered the question that they were. Now, I was particularly found it interesting, and this does kind of fall a little bit around party lines, but that evidently on one party, and you can guess, over 90% answered that they were proud to be an American. The other party, it was about 35%. And you know, you ask yourself why. I watched on social media that why does who sits in the White House dictate whether you're proud of this country or not? You know, we have gone through two very large extremes of presidents in the White House, and you have one group that the previous president, they weren't so proud of him, and consequently their pride in the country went down. Well, we should be proud of this country regardless who sits in the White House, whether that be Joe Biden or whether that be Donald Trump. We should be proud of this country. People go to the polls and they vote and they elect people. And yeah, I think a lot of people said, gee, we wish we had different choices, but it doesn't work that way. But at the end of the day, pride in this country is, in my mind, is critically important. I always ask people that I don't want to live in this country. Really, would you like to go to communist China? Would you like to go down to Venezuela? Yeah. Where do you want to move to? And where are you going to go? I mean, look at the people that are coming here for the FIFA World Cup that are just amazed at the United States of America. And yes, they're going to the largest cities in the country, which I would say aren't the showplaces that they once were. But people look at even going to New York City and saying, wow, we love this country, that are foreigners coming here. I mean, why does everybody want to come to the United States? It's really the greatest country in the world.
Yeah, they put a lot of us to shame, all the clips of the foreigners that have come to root on their teams in the World Cup, by all the statements they made and the obvious enjoyment of being over here and enjoying what we have to offer, and we can take a lot from that for sure. You wanted to touch and talk a few minutes about the Supreme Court finally deciding they were going to take up the case on water rights concerning the Perkins County Canal, and whether that's going, whether Colorado is going to release the water or not. And the Supreme Court has decided we'll take that up and decide, you know, which way it should go on that.
Yes, so. I think it's an important decision to hear the case. The Solicitor General had to be convinced to first make the recommendation to the Supreme Court to hear the case, and they did announce last week that they will indeed hear the case. So when they meet again in the fall, that will be one of the cases that they will hear. A.G. Hilgers will be prepared with his team to make the case for Nebraska. Colorado will make their case. I think the crux of the problem, I know, again, it's understanding all the issues here, but what it really comes down to is that there is a certain amount of acre feet of water that's minimum that's to flow down the South Platte River in the summer months. It's a higher number in the winter months. Now, they're not guaranteed, we're not guaranteed that many acre feet of water, but if the water is there, it's to come through. But when I say the water is there, there's an article written in the Telegraph here a while back on how much water actually flowed down the South Platte River. Mm-hmm. Well, keep in mind that the crux of the problem is that Colorado is not taking the steps they must to shut off junior water users on the South Platte in Colorado. And it's not all that different than what we dealt with when we were dealing with the water that was going into Kansas. Why did we have NCorp? Why did we have to take all those acres out of production? Well, it was because we had junior water users who were drilling wells, pulling water out of the ground, which basically impacted the flow of water down the river. Now, that's been accepted, widely accepted, and is actually in state statute. How the two interact, groundwater usage and surface water. So if those groundwater users were shut down in Colorado that were junior users, there would be more water in the river, and it would flow into Nebraska per the compact. And Colorado is failing to enforce that in their own state. And so the Supreme Court really needs to rule and force them to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make a big difference. I don't feel, I feel for the farmers that have drilled wells and are irrigating in eastern Colorado that would likely be shut off if the ruling runs in our favor. But this has been in place for many, many years, the compact, and we have water users here in Nebraska that are no longer getting the water they were expected to receive because of the overappropriation in Colorado. So Nebraska farmers have been negatively impacted for years. This year, there are a number of water users out in western Nebraska that did not plant a crop because they weren't being able to be assured that there was going to be water coming down the river.
Hmm. Well, it's something we'll keep an eye on, and it's probably going to be several months, I would imagine, before we'll get a decision on that.
I would say so. You know, we would hope that it would be heard and that then by this time next year there would be a decision as to whether or not they are, how they rule. That will likely be the first of several lawsuits, but I would argue that we've not been in court at the Supreme Court before on this issue. This will be an important ruling because Colorado has been stonewalling us up to now, and they won't even come to the table to even negotiate some other agreement. So it's going to take a Supreme Court ruling to get their attention and know that we're serious. The legislature in this next session is going to have to make sure that we preserve the dollars that are in the Perkins County Canal Reserve to be used to further build out the canal. I would argue, and I have argued on the legislative floor, that if you take away the dollars that are in that fund and use it for budget purposes, and that goes away, that would probably impact how the Supreme Court would rule, because Colorado's already arguing that Nebraska is not serious about building the canal because they have the funding and they keep threatening to take the funding away.
Yeah.
If the funding did leave, I think most people in there would look at this and say, when again would we receive that kind of funding? The funding to be able to put the money in the Perkins County Canal Fund really came from back when COVID was occurring.
Right.
And all the federal money that came into the state caused significant increase in tax receipts. And so I know a lot of people have argued, well, what did Nebraska do with all that money? They squandered that money. Well, the money that came in from the windfalls, if you will, from the COVID money coming from D.C., is we were well above the amount of money that we could have in reserve. So that's why there was roughly $600 million put into the Perkins County Fund. There was also $1 billion put into the Education Future Fund. So people look at that and say, well, Senator or Governor Pillen spent all that money. Well, no, actually what he did was we invested those dollars. It was very important that we did not take that money and program it into programs that were going to be ongoing because we'd run out of money.
Yep.
Well, and the fact is we're still running out of money, and largely it's because the receipts have gone down below what we thought that they would be, largely because of some of the changes that were in One Big Beautiful Bill. There was a lot more money that went back into the hands of the taxpayer, which is not a bad thing, but it does impact the state's budget.
Sure. And probably there'll be some senators down there when you get down there say, you know, we don't need, you know, we should direct this elsewhere.
I could name names, and I'm prepared for the fight. That's exactly right.
Because they don't see it in eastern Nebraska. They just don't see that it's going to benefit us that much, obviously.
That's right. Now, even though there will be some of that water that could make it all the way to Lincoln.
Yeah.
But I would tell you that the recharge that would occur from that water coming back into Nebraska, as it should, will be huge. It is my intention to run for revenue chair this next year. I think that a big part of we're going to probably have a $200 million budget deficit projection for the next biennium. That's not going to be balanced on cuts alone. Cuts will be a big part of it, but we will not be able to get there on cuts alone. There will have to be some revenue enhancements. I would tell you that there would be a big push to take money out of the Perkins County Canal Project. That's a huge fund of money. So people would be looking, but that doesn't really solve your long-term budget problem. It just fixes the hole in the current period. There would also be a big push to eliminate or reverse the income tax cuts. I would tell you, I was there when they were passed in 22 and was happy to vote for those. I was there in 23 when we moved up the timeline. But I would tell you that we will not have the votes to ever do a tax cut like that again probably in my lifetime, or at least in the near term. And so if we give those up, we're not going to get them back. And I think that it's critically important for our state to be competitive with other states, to not have any state income tax that is well above others. Just go look at what's happening in Seattle. Look at what's happening in New York. And the businesses are moving out of those states.
Yeah.
They're moving to states that have no income tax at all.
Sure.
Our income tax is scheduled to go down to 3.99%, which is still higher than zero, but it's certainly lower than roughly 7% where we were before.
A lot better than we were just a few years ago, for sure. People like to get a hold of you if they have ideas and want to capture you before you head down to Lincoln. They can do that?
Sure. They can call area code 402-471-2729. And Christina will certainly take your call. And you can email me at mjacobson@leg.ne.gov. And I get a lot of emails from people outside the district, but I do flag every email that comes in from the district, and those get priority.
Yep, as they should. Senator Mike Jacobson, representing District 42, has been our guest, as he does every Monday. We appreciate you so much coming in and talk about pertinent issues to the area, Senator, and have an enjoyable week.
Well, thank you very much. I would encourage people to, I know you're going to talk about it, but they're going to have the event for the veterans on Friday.
Yep.
And I do plan to come back to North Platte to be here for that event. I won't be part of it, but I'll be a spectator like everyone else. But I think it's important to make sure that we honor, in this case, our Korean veterans. I know T.J. Haggard's going to be here to talk about from the DAV.
Yep.
They are probably the one organization I respect the most. Is the disabled veterans really have a special place in my heart, because these are people that have fought for our country and are spending the rest of their lives disabled because they fought for us.
Right.
And we should never forget that, and should always honor them.
Amen to all that. Appreciate you, Senator.